So this morning, to start us off, I would like to share an interesting tale that concerns a football game between the little animals and the big animals. The score at halftime was 84-0. In hopelessness, the little animals kicked off to begin the second half. Somehow the chimp who had handled the kickoff was tackled on the 10-yard line, the worst field position of the whole game up to this point. On first down, they ran the elephant right up the middle, no gain. On second down, they threw a pass to the zebra, still no gain. On third down, a deep pass to the giraffe, failure, no gain. As the defense unit of the team came off of the field screaming and hollering, the coach, a gopher, shouted over them with excitement and said, "Who made the tackle on the kickoff?" And the centipede replied, "I did, coach." "Who stopped the elephant down the middle?" Again, the centipede replied, "I did, coach." "Who knocked down those passes?" And the gopher's amazement, again, the centipede said, "I did, coach." Having heard the report, the coach screamed at the centipede, "Where were you the first half?" To which the centipede replied, "I was in the locker room taping up my ankles." I know, ridiculous story. Ridiculous story. My wife's like, "Are you really going to share that on a Sunday morning? This is in children's church, Sean." Dumb story. But one basic point. Too many of us stay in the locker room taping up our ankles when our teams desperately need us to get in the game. Too many of us are hanging out in the locker room taking care of ourselves when our team desperately needs us to be in the game. It reminds me of a Super Bowl that I would think I was still a Michigander at this time in my life. I was not in Illinois or this close to Missouri. But it reminds me of a football game that was played in 2000, the 2000 Super Bowl. Yeah. Okay, there's more Rams fans here the second service than there was the first. I get it. They're gone. They're in L.A. We don't root for anything in L.A. I get it. All right? But good game, right? Rams versus Titans. The Rams went up 16-0 in the game. The Titans came back storming back in the second half, storming back with less than 1 yard. The miracle tackle by Mike Jones. Who? Nobody? Listen to this. Nobody gets it. Nobody. No Rams fans there. By Mike Jones. Who? That's when you say, "Mike Jones," right? Okay, never mind. That epic fail. I'm gonna kick the guy that gave me that illustration. Epic fail, right? But that's true. If you watch that game, at the very end, when they're charging down the field and Mike Jones makes that miracle tackle, you as a Rams fan, at that point, were like, yes! And the Titans fell short in the second half by 1 yard to lose the game 23-16. Showing up for the first half makes the difference. Listen, if you're taking notes this morning, you need to write that down. Showing up for the first half makes the difference. As an employee, showing up for the first half makes the difference. As a husband, as a wife, showing up for the first half makes the difference. As a student, showing up for the first half makes the difference. As a father, as a mother, showing up for the first half makes a difference. As a son, as a daughter, showing up for the first half makes the difference. As a member of this house, as a family member of Life Community Church, showing up for the first half makes the difference. A lot of us, right? Some of us, maybe all of us, maybe a little of us, I don't know, right? But there's people in this room, I'm sure, people that we know, right, that are losing the game because they're not showing up the first half. We give all that we have in the second half and end up losing by yard. What happens when we show up the first half. In chapters 6 and 7, and as you know, we're reading through the book of Acts as a church, and Pastor Jamie and I, more so Jamie than I, we're not preaching every verse in the book of Acts, or we'd be here for a very long time. And so the goal is for us as a church to read together every verse in the book of Acts. And if you're not involved in a life group, I would so encourage you to make sure you're in a life group, whether it be a life community church group or a group you just work, you show up at your house, whatever that is. But I would really encourage you to read the Word of God together. But my assignment this week is chapter 5, 6, and 7, the verses that you'll be reading. And we're going to stick primarily in chapter 6. But in chapter 6 and 7, we meet a man by the name of Stephen. A man with strong character and unshakable courage. And there's really two halves to Stephen's life. Two halves. The first half, we see his character, the character of Stephen. The second half, we see the courage of Stephen. The first half displays his strong character. And the second half shows his unshakable courage. And as much as I would love to talk primarily about his unshakable courage, which is so awesome and so incredible. I mean, we love to talk about people that have courage and what they do in that courage. They make for great stories and great conversation and great motivation. We all leave feeling so wonderful. It's the strong character that allows him to walk in his unshakable courage. And so not focusing on strong character, we'd be completely missing unshakable courage. So this morning, my prayer for you is this, is that you would make room. That you would make room for whatever Jesus wants to do in your life. That you would make room for a first half like you've never seen. That you would make room for God to allow to use your courage in a way that he's never used your courage before. And so if you go with me to Acts chapter 6, I hope you're already there. We're going to start off in verse 1. The church, Acts chapter 6, 1, the church is rapidly multiplying. The church is rapidly multiplying. Acts 6, 1 says this, but as the believers rapidly this is what happens in the second service. Hey, listen, y'all want me to stay around? You're going to have to talk to me. You have to say amen. Sean, that's good. Sean, that's bad. Sean, I wish I didn't come. Right? You got to say a few things or something. Chapter 6, verse 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, the church is growing fast. Growing at a rate that probably it's hardly ever grown before. This is a movement like the world has never seen. At this point, thousands of people have been added to the church in less than a year. And we've talked about this already. Pastor Jamie's already shared some of these things with us. Acts chapter 2, 41. Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church, 3,000 in all, in a day. 3,000. That would be sweet. Acts 2:47, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Acts 44, but many of the people who heard the message believed it. So the number of men who believed and now totaled 5,000. Yet more and more people believed and were brought to the Lord. Crowds, crowds, crowds of both men and women. By Acts chapter 6, which is just shy of a year now on the timeline, there's approximately 20,000 people that are going to church. That's a great place to say, wow. 20,000. What in the world is happening? Listen, listen, listen. And because of its rapid growth of the church is causing, because of all this growth, rumblings or disconnect amongst the believers. Acts chapter 6, 1. But as the believers rapidly multiplied, there were rumblings of discontent. Good news, church is growing. Bad news, is it right if I say this? People are complaining. We're not initially talking about, and maybe we are, I'm not saying that we're not, right? This might apply to us, but in general, capital C church, I'm not going there anymore. They're too big. Man, if I had a quarter for every time I heard that, I could retire, move to Colorado. Why? Because I like Colorado. It's good, I like that. I like you, keep it up. Listen. The church is growing rapidly. Great things are happening. Yet at the same time, and we understand, we get this, we probably live this, there's rumblings of discontent. Acts 6:1, the Greek-speaking believers complained about the Hebrew-speaking believers, saying that their widows were being discriminated against in the daily distribution of food. So Greek-speaking believers complaining about Hebrew-speaking believers, all believers accusing them of not caring for their Greek widows as they did the Hebrew widows. I mean, this is the New Testament church. The New Testament church is attempting to take care of, and we've talked about this, they're gathering together, they're using each other's resources, they're doing all these things, yet people are being left out. And the problem is this, the Hebrew believers that are from Jerusalem and would have been considered upper class. The Greek believers who are from outside of Jerusalem would be considered lower class. You see the problem here, right? And the tension of the Hebrew believers getting more attention than the Greek believers is causing a big problem. It's causing a unity problem in this young church. And I'm thinking to myself, if I'm an apostle at this point, 12 guys trying to take care of 20,000 people, whew, I ain't signing up for that. I mean, I'm thinking right now, I'm thinking as I read this text, as I process this, this is what I'm thinking. Really? What? I mean, the church is growing so fast and you're going to complain because your needs aren't being taken care of? What's going on? Like, seriously, can you not see what God's doing? It's amazing. It's wonderful. It's awesome. And you're going to complain that you got a little less than the other guy? Listen. We need to focus on what's most important here, people. People getting saved. So what we do is we focus on spiritual needs and we neglect the practical needs of the church. We focus on what we deem most important and then create disunity in the body of Christ. And the Holy Spirit says, time out. We can't move forward not being unified. Like, amazing things are happening. We got some widows complaining. And the apostles say, whoa, Holy Spirit, time out. We need to take care of this. Even though there's this humongous challenge for these New Testament leaders to take care of so many people and so many of their needs, the response is incredible. So the apostles start sharing responsibility with a hope of creating unity. Acts 6:2. So the 12 called the meeting of all the believers. That is a meeting. I mean, holy smokes. I mean, Jamie walks in my office. He's like, hey, listen, we're going to call in all the believers and we're going to ask them to take care of a problem. Like, are you insane? Like, this is not going to turn out right. I'm not sure this is a good solution to our problem, right? This is what they do. So the 12 called a meeting with all the believers. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. Anybody else think that's a little arrogant? Like, I'm like, listen, I get you're important. I can get you got important things to do, but like, really? Let me ask you a question. There's a lot of good things going on in your life. Ton of good things. Awesome things. Wonderful things. And a lot of times you pick something up good, and in that you've got to drop something good. Well, the apostles are saying here, if we start picking up these things that are good for us to do, we're going to start neglecting the word of God, which is also a good thing for us to do. Both of them, as equally as important, spiritual needs, physical needs, so important. So important that the Holy Spirit said, time out, we got a unity problem. We got to take care of it before we move forward. Right? No way, shape, or form are they saying, we're too good for that. We can't do that. But what they are saying is, if I neglect the word of God, and you know this to be true, what happens when you pick up good things and because of it, you begin to neglect the word of God? It affects you in a negative way. And this early church knew, we've got to keep these things a priority. We need to make sure that the word of God is something we're talking about, working through all these kind of things. Acts chapter 6, 3 through 4. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and are full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then the apostles can spend our time in prayer and in teaching of the word. We need, the apostles are saying, we need a few good men to step up. Men who are well-respected, full of the Spirit, full of wisdom. Men with strong character. And this is where we meet Stephen. This is where we learn about the most important half of Stephen's life. The first half, the strong character part. Acts chapter 6, verses 5 through 6 reads this way. Everyone liked this idea, and they chose the following. Stephen, a man full of faith, full of the Holy Spirit, six other guys. These seven were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them as they laid their hands on them. Acts 6 through 7, 8. So God's message, this is so good. Hey, all believers, get together. We got a problem. We need you to pick seven guys. Bring them back to us. We're going to pray for them. Here's the qualifications. Make sure they have A, B, and C. Let us know. All right, cool. Everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. Stephen and six people step up. Stephen and six people step up. We're not talking about apostles. We're talking about people that are taking care of ministry, managing ministry. They're willing to show up. Where do you need me, Jody? Where do you need me, Sean? Where do you need me, Pastor Jamie? Well, where do you need me, Kelly? Well, where do you need me, Casey? Like, where? Just hey, listen, I know there's practical needs around here. Let's take care of those practical needs. Like, where do you need me? Listen, I create, there's some disunity. There's some widows not being taken care of. You know what? I can take care of those widows. I'm on it. No longer are they going to feel like they're less. We're not going to allow the enemy to come into this house and create disunity, because we know disunity will cause big problems. And so we're going to create unity. I'm picking it up. Right? Listen, I don't think for a minute when the apostles called all these people and shared this thought, and then these guys said, hey, Mary, listen, can you do me a big favor? Could you run the hospitality team? I don't think at that point Stephen's like, or Mary's like, you know, let me pray about it. Yeah, I can do that. I'm game. Woo, I'm going to get ahead of myself. Here's the result of what happened. 6, 7 through 8. So, they've taken care of unity. I don't want to call us average, right? But we're talking about apostles, non-apostles. So I hate to use the word average because no one's average in my book. But like, just the body of Christ steps up to take care of the problem, right? We have unity. 7 and 8. So, because of this, God's message continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted. Golly, I don't have a Charlie horse. I'm just getting really excited. Golly. So God's message continued to spread because Mary Geer stood up and said, I can be the hospitality director. Well, I can take care of that. I understand, Sean. They like their coffee. I'm there. I'll make sure coffee's hot every weekend. Right? I mean, I'm being a little funny here, but this is what's happening. The number of believers greatly increased. Are you greatly? We're at 20,000 at this point. Greatly? Like, folks, you know what this means. If we apply this message to our lives, don't tell the pastor. We're going to have to build another building. Right? Greatly. I mean, what is greatly? 60,000 more people? Right? And many of the Jewish priests were converted. 2, Stephen, a man full of God's grace and power, performed amazing miracles and signs among the people. I'm ready for Mary to lay hands on people and watch them just raise up from the dead. That's what we're talking about this morning. I mean, that's what's happening here. Listen, Stephen is not an apostle. Well, listen, you got to get this. I almost missed something here. Listen, what is the result of a full life? What is the result of a full life? The blessing of God continued and increased. That's good. Listen, what is the result of a full life? What is the result of a full life? What is the result of full life? What is the result of full life? Full life, 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 full life. What is the result of you having a full life? The blessing of God increasing. Anybody want to sign up for that? This is just the Bible. Like, we just got to obey it. Like, this stuff's going to happen. The best part is we don't have to wonder if it's going to happen. We have an account of it happening. What happens if we just put it into practice? Listen, Stephen is not an apostle. He's just a dude that responded. There's a good chance that when all of everything was happening at Pentecost, that he heard these things, right? And gave his life to the Lord, if not minimum, was filled with the Holy Spirit. A person full of, they say, he's a person full of the Holy Spirit. He's a person that full of the Holy Spirit. He walks in wisdom. He chooses faith. He gives grace. He displays power. He's a person that has wisdom. He walks in wisdom. A person who knows the Word of God, trusts the Word of God, chooses to obey the Word of God as the Holy Spirit reveals the Word of God to them. He's a person full of the Holy Spirit. He walks in wisdom. He's a person full of the Holy Spirit. He chooses faith. A person who places their trust only in the Lord and nowhere else. Only in the Lord and nowhere else. The Holy Spirit gives grace. A person who extends goodness that a recipient does not deserve. A person of the Holy Spirit displays power. A person who walks in miraculous works of God. Are you walking in wisdom? Do you know the Word of God? And are you just able to use it at any time? As you're in conversations at work, or as you're in conversations with your family, no matter where you're at, is the Word of God hidden deep within inside of you? Are you choosing faith and faith only? Are you trusting God no matter what? Good indicator. I shouldn't say it. I said the first service. Da-da-da-da-da-da. I feel like an... Listen, and I get that we're all at different places in our life growing, and so I don't mean this in a negative light at all. I want it to be a word of encouragement and also a measurement, too, for you. You tithe 10%? I don't know who tithes and who doesn't either. And I'm not concerned at all. This is a question just between you and the Lord. You trust the Lord to provide for you? Give him 10%. You want unshakable courage, yet you don't want him to build your character? You can't have unshakable courage without strong character. You can't. And strong character is built when nobody's looking or paying attention. The apostle said, find 7 men that are well respected. It wasn't like they gave the believers a list and said, go now work on these 5 things and come back. Not at all. These things were already happening. Hey, listen, a person who places their trust only in the Lord and nowhere else, where do you place your financial trust? Is it in your ability to get up every single day and go to a job and make money? You shouldn't trust yourself that much. You shouldn't. Like, I'm just being honest. You should not trust yourself that much. The Lord, as a Christian, as a believer, is your provider. That doesn't mean that you should sit on the couch every day. Amen. Don't get me wrong. Nor does it mean that we're going to put a list up like, oh, yeah, you tithe 10%. We're celebrating you. That's not where I'm going, so don't mix up my words. Don't take it somewhere it shouldn't be taken. I'm just saying. It really is an example, shows us how we trust and how we don't trust. Listen, do we give grace to those that don't deserve it? We don't deserve grace, but we got it. We got grace. Jesus Christ gave us grace. We deserve something so much more. I mean, something so much more. Not grace at all, but he gave us grace. Display power. One of my favorite small group questions this week on our sheet was talking about whether or not this whole idea of Peter and miracles and how you use Peter and all this kind of stuff and how it changed the church, all those kind of things. And then we just said, hey, does anybody in the room need a miracle? Raise your hand. Now, as a small group, would you be interested in praying for those that need a miracle? Because Stephen was used this way. You know, I don't know if Mary knows this or not, but Mary could be used this way. It's not just for apostles. It's for those, right, that want to walk in the fullness of the Holy Spirit. The emphasis on Stephen's life is on fullness. In Scripture, to be full of means to be controlled by. You are controlled by whatever fills you. If you are filled with jealousy, success of others will kill you. If you're filled with lust, your sexual appetite will drive you. If you're filled with anger, you will quarrel and even murder in your thoughts. But if you're filled with God's Holy Spirit, the results will be wisdom, faith, grace, power, great reputation. Your life will be a lot like Stephen's. Your life will be others-oriented and Christ-exalted. You will have good reputation. Stephen's Holy Spirit character empowered his unshakable courage. Stephen's Holy Spirit character empowered his unshakable courage. Acts 6, 9 through 12, 10 reads this way. But one day. Can I just pause there for a minute? But one day. Hey, your story might have a but one day. Are you ready for that but one day? But one day, some men of the synagogue of freed slaves, as it was called, started to debate with Stephen. They were Jews from Providence of Asia. None of them could stand against the wisdom and the spirit with which Stephen spoke. His character and courage led him to stand firmly in Christ. You can't have courage without character. Courage won't take you where character hasn't been already developed. Courage won't take you where character hasn't been already developed. I have this thought. Stephen was not aware of the future plans that God had for him. He was a man full of the Holy Spirit, realized there are some things to be taken care of. Said, yes, I'll do it. If you want me to do it, I'm in it. He had no clue a chapter later he'd be stoned to death for blasphemy. And in that stoning and in that lie that was said about him, the gospel had spread where it had not yet spread. What does God have planned for your future? Your first half, building character, is what will give you unshakable courage to stand when everyone is against you. Acts chapter 6, 12 through 15. They rose the people, the elder, and the teachers of religious law. So they arrested Stephen and brought him before the high council. The lying witness said, "This man is always speaking against the holy temple and against the law of Moses. We have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy the temple and change the customs Moses had given down to us." At this point, everyone in the high council stared at Stephen because his face became as bright as an angel. Stephen was arrested and taken before the same council that had tried Jesus and the apostles. It was not even necessary for Stephen to speak. He didn't have to say anything, even though he gives the greatest message in chapter 7, almost recorded at all in the New Testament. Definitely the longest one, but incredible words. As he speaks to these individuals of how Jesus has entered their world, it was not even necessary for Stephen to speak in order to give witness. Why? Because his face is glowing. They're talking about Stephen rebuking Moses. Where else is someone's face is glowing when God gives Moses the word of God and his face, they come off the mountain and his face is glowing. And so they're looking at Stephen thinking, oh my goodness, this guy might be right. There's only one other person we've seen this happen to, and that's Moses. And now it's happening to Stephen. Certainly the members of the Sanhedrin could have recalled Moses' shining face is as though God was saying, this man is not against Moses. He's like Moses. He's my faithful servant. After a long speech full of the Holy Spirit, inspired and encouraged, Stephen would be stoned to death and become the first Christian martyr. Courage won't take you where character hasn't been developed. Courage won't take you where character has not been developed. In conclusion, where's my band members? In conclusion, I'm sure most of you remember this jingle. Now, I don't sing as well as Pastor Jamie. He did a pretty good job singing last week, didn't he? He did. Okay, I won't tell him that you don't agree. It goes something like this. Sometimes I dream, but he is me. You've got to see. That's how I dream. I dream. Oh, hold on, messing it up. I dream, I move. I dream, I groove. Like Mike. If I could be like Mike. Anybody remember that? You find it? There it is. Turn it up. I mean, my childhood just comes roaring back. My basketball, my headband. I'm dunking on everybody. Last minute shot's mine. I wanna be like Mike. If I could be like Mike. Yes. Listen, I'm so disappointed in our current culture, our generation. No, none of them hardly ever knew this song. And I'm thinking, what is wrong with you? Right? Regardless of who your model was as a child, every Christian should seek to imitate the same model. The goal of a Christian is to be like the Savior. In Acts chapter 6, we meet a man that was as much like Jesus as anyone in the Bible up to this point, Stephen. Christ-like character. Christ-like courage. He lived like Jesus, was used like Jesus, and died a martyr's death. To be like Stephen would be to be like Christ. So, how's your game? You feel like you're losing? Maybe it's because you only showed up for the second half. The Lord has great plans for your life. The Lord has great plans for your life. And sometimes I think we get them confused with new cars, bigger houses. Raises. All those things are good. I like all those things. And I think the Lord allows all those things. I think they're great. Nothing wrong with any of those things. You want to give me a new car? I'll take a new car. I'm just kidding. Right? Like nothing wrong. So please don't twist my words. There's nothing wrong with any of those things. But there'll be a day where you're going to be asked for the Lord to be courageous, to have unshakable courage. And your first half will determine how you respond to your second half. Because in the first half is where we build character. It's where we build character. And Jesus is coming back for his church, and in that he is reconciling people back to him. And he never intended the work to be just for the 12 apostles. He never intended the work to be just for the two pastors. He intended from the very beginning for the work to be all of ours. And the Spirit of God that fills the apostles is the same Spirit of God that fills me and fills you. And when we submit to that Spirit, and we surrender to it, and we allow it to be control us, and we're full of it, the church, unified, and grows. gross, amazing, incredible, wonderful things happen. Just as the apostles were in search of seven good people, we at Life Community Church are in search of a lot of good people. But do remember, we are not interested in individuals that want to show up just for the second half. We are interested in those that want to show up for the first half. Because when we understand that when we play the first half and when we play the second half, Jesus wins. Jesus wins.